MRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. With rain in the forecast, much of the WMRA region is still experiencing drought. Former Nexus executives get more grand jury indictments. And as the campaigns for and against Virginia's redistricting amendment move into high gear, Jeff Shapiro has a review of that and more in the Week in Politics. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, March 27th. Most of the WMRA region is still under moderate to severe drought conditions. The worst drought conditions are from Stanton and Charlottesville through Southside, Virginia. That area is under severe drought, according to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor for Virginia report released Thursday. Other parts of the WMRA region are under moderate drought. Today's forecast calls for up to a quarter inch of rain. An Augusta County grand jury has returned additional charges against two former executives of Valley-based Nexus Services. The Daily News Record reports the grand jury indicted former CEO Michael Donovan and former Executive Vice President Richard Moore with two counts each of felony embezzlement. Moore is already serving a 6-year, 8-month sentence at a federal prison in West Virginia on a federal tax fraud conviction. The two men are already set to go to trial for other alleged Augusta County financial crimes against Zachary Cruz, the brother of Parkland, Florida school shooter Nicholas Cruz. Three organizations working to end homelessness in Charlottesville presented their latest proposal for a low-barrier shelter to City Council on Wednesday. WVIR reports The Haven and the Blue Ridge Area Coalition for the Homeless pitched Phase 2 of a low-barrier shelter during a meeting at City Space. The proposal carries a price tag of about $8.6 million. The coalition of organizations said this is a scaled-down version of what was first imagined. The proposal includes fewer beds, removes the medical wing, and eliminates some renovations. Albemarle County, along with Charlottesville, recently shared a new report for crime numbers, which show a 23% drop in violent crime and a 36% drop in gun violence. The Daily Progress reports County Police Chief Sean Reeves said the numbers reflect strong regional partnerships through the 3A Task Force and Project Safe Neighborhoods. The number of traffic deaths, however, was unchanged. 7 people died in motor vehicle crashes in 2025, the same as the year before. The proposed so-called Valley Link transmission line that would cross up to 9 Virginia counties from Campbell to Culpeper is facing increasing opposition. Patrick Larson with VPM News has more.
The Valley Link Joshua Falls to Yeat line, a joint venture of Dominion Energy, Transource, and First Energy, would be the highest voltage line in Dominion service territory. Higher voltage means more efficient transmission of electricity from the Ohio River Valley all the way to Northern Virginia. It also means taller towers and a 200-foot-wide right-of-way. People along the proposed path are concerned about impacts to the rural landscape and property values. Louisa County Chairman Dwayne Adams is working with other counties on the route to oppose. He spoke at a community meeting at Thomas Jefferson Elementary School on Wednesday.
It brings no value to Central Virginia, and we should continue to fight this and say no.
Valley Link representatives say the project will benefit the grid writ large and could be used by localities on the route to power new development and industry. The final route won't be decided for months. Valley Link recently wrapped a first round of public outreach on their proposal.
Patrick Larson reporting. Some Virginians argue that the language of a question on the ballot for redrawing the state's congressional districts is misleading voters, Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner reports.
When Virginians go to vote on the new redistricting process, they'll be asked a question. Should the Constitution of Virginia be amended to allow the General Assembly to temporarily adopt new congressional districts to restore fairness in the upcoming elections while ensuring Virginia's standard redistricting process resumes for all future redistricting after the 2030 census? But according to a lawsuit filed by the Republican National Committee, the use of the word fairness is a, quote, misleading statement, if not an obvious falsehood. In their eyes, redrawing district lines to favor Democrats is the opposite of fair. The bar to amend Virginia's constitution is already high. An amendment must pass the legislature twice with an election for the House of Delegates in between. As for the rest of the rules, Here's UVA law professor Michael Gilbert.
I mean, it doesn't say a lot.
But Gilbert isn't optimistic for Republicans' misleading language argument, in part because of the concept of the political questions doctrine.
Idea, an impulse that directs federal courts not to resolve questions that are deeply political or that can be resolved or should be resolved through the political process. The issues at hand are really meant for the realm of politics, not for the realm of law.
And while it may be canon for federal courts, Gilbert said state courts often respect it for the same reason, because the solution to those unhappy about it is the same.
They can vote, you know, for candidates, right? They can change who they elect to the General Assembly, and they can put pressure on people to reverse this.
Voters will decide on Virginia's redistricting effort by April 21st. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
The campaigns for and against Virginia's redistricting amendment are kicking into high gear. Politics analysts Jeff Shapiro and Michael Pope recap the week in politics and state government.
All right, a lot of news to get to this week, starting with that statewide referendum. Voting is now underway. It will go through next month. And Jeff Shapiro, every time you turn on your television or watch anything on YouTube, you're seeing Obama. And now there's a new commercial with Governor Spanberger.
Yes, Abigail Spanberger, who was once rather lukewarm on these rigged congressional districts, voted early in favor of this tweak to the Constitution that's going to allow the Democrats in the legislature to manipulate boundaries to create, they believe, a 10-1 Democratic advantage in the congressional delegation that would cost the Republicans 4 of their 5 seats. But Spanberger is also on the air talking up this initiative, if dare one call it, that to Virginians. It's important to point out that Republicans too are on the air, not as many big names or big voices, but nonetheless trying to compete for the eyes, the ears, the hearts, and the votes of Virginians. P.S. The Spanberger appearance in this ad follows as well her signing of an executive order that returns Virginia to a 26-state election security consortium that was joined by Virginia under a Republican governor, Bob McDonnell, and was yanked from it by a Republican governor, Glenn Youngkin. He was trying to affirm his Trump bona fides. By the way, that order by Youngkin also did away with the restriction on purges of voter rolls 90 days before an election. The Spanberger executive order reverses that. All of this trying to convey to Virginians the importance of their vote in this mid-April referendum.
So that's what the Democrats are doing, throwing tons of money at the airwaves. The Republicans are really struggling. They have not raised as much money. They're not putting as much money into the no vote campaign. However, if you look at the early voting totals, Jeff Shapiro, it looks like the Republican areas are leading in the early vote.
Yeah, this big financial advantage for the Democrats. We're talking, you know, 20 million plus versus, you know, maybe 5 million or so for the Republicans. However, the Republicans have been very good about mobilizing the grassroots, getting voters out early to vote against this anti-Trump gerrymandering. And the biggest, most robust turnouts have been in the areas of the state where the votes are not terribly abundant, the countryside, but reliably red jurisdictions. This has been a real pick-me-up for Republicans, and it's led some of them to believe that they may actually have a chance to defeat this thing. But the Democrats have yet to put the pedal to the metal. In addition to all of these television ads, folks are showing up on the doors in lots of Democratic jurisdictions, including here in Richmond.
And then finally, those wind turbines off the coast of Hampton Roads are finally cranking out power. You could say the future is blowing in the wind.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd quarrel with that. What's really interesting, I think, about this is happening at the same time the U.S. is in a war, clearly a war for oil with Iran. These offshore turbines, part of a giant project by Dominion Energy, was the largest wind farm on the East Coast. It was initially scuttled by the Trump administration. The local utility went to court, had that order reversed. However, even with these turbines just beginning to produce some energy, enough for maybe 3,700 homes, as we're told, the legal issues have yet to be decided. And who knows, perhaps a judge will say the president was acting with authority.
All right, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we have been joined by politics analyst and UVA scholar Jeff Shapiro. Talk to you next week.
Finally today, this Sunday, a National Vietnam War Veterans Day ceremony and monument dedication will honor local Vietnam veterans who died in combat with a new monument in Harrisonburg. The Daily News Record reports a previous memorial honoring Vietnam veterans was erected outside the Rockingham County Courthouse in August 1973, but since the war was technically not over yet that year, not all the names were listed on the previous memorial. This year is also the first time that the courthouse has held an event on National Vietnam War Veterans Day. The courthouse is inviting families of the veterans to read prepared bios or share personal stories about those whose lives were lost. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.